still writing articles for Forbes or Inc. or whatever, they're putting connect with me on Twitter and LinkedIn. Because if I want to get in on those magazines, you get in with the people writing or that help a reporter out or trying to find those people, and I'm finding them on those two platforms.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Marketing Mindset Podcast, where we believe that in order to grow a successful business, you need just two things, the right marketing strategies and the right mindset. I am your host, Maria Benz, and I am the founder of MBM Agency, a digital marketing company who helps service-based businesses grow their revenue using online strategies. And I am here to share with you all of my tips and pointers every single week when it comes to digital marketing and business growth. Today, I got to interview my new friend, Judy Fox, who is a LinkedIn expert. If you've ever wondered how to utilize LinkedIn as a business owner and entrepreneur to grow your leads and build connections with the right people to maybe get you in front of speaking engagements or even journalists from Forbes and Inc., Judy is your girl to get your tips and tricks from. So I'm so excited to have her on the episode today. So a little bit about Judy's story on LinkedIn. So in 2018, she hit 3 million views on LinkedIn and had increased her followers from around 1,000 to over 20,000 people. And she's worked with numerous clients to get results for them to help them level up their LinkedIn as well. She's been a feature speaker for LinkedIn Video at events like Video Marketing World, Social Media Week, and Vid Summit. So she is definitely the best person for you to learn from of how to best utilize LinkedIn and level up in your business. So are you ready? Let's get started.
Anyways, I'm super excited to have you on the podcast. Finally, we've been like chit-chatting over Instagram. Now I feel like, although we're in like officially meeting, I still am like, I feel like we're finally.
We're finally official. We have a podcast episode just from playing all of our voice messages back and forth.
Oh my gosh. I know. We could. That's so funny. So welcome to the show. I'm super excited to have you here and to learn from you all about LinkedIn. I love this because you are all about LinkedIn, which is, you know, and I feel like in our world, or it's not like the most popular, or the most talked about platform, although I will have to say that the few times that I've utilized it or I've been consistently active on it, I know it's brought me leads and it's been such a powerful platform that I know that if I continue to use it, it could only get better. And I know other business owners, because that's the majority of the listeners or people who are building their businesses, like they need to hear this and they need to get on it. So I'm excited to hear from you.
I'm excited because everything you just said, plus there's things happening that I am excited to talk about for why I think LinkedIn's even like literally within the past week or two, it's even hotter.
So. Okay. I'm excited to get into that. But before we do, so how, like, tell me your story. How did you find yourself being this LinkedIn expert?
Well, we will roll all the way back to my degree and background is in chemical engineering, and I graduated in 99. So I kind of ground people in that because I'm like, I've been in the workforce for a while. And the reason I say that is because back then there was no LinkedIn for how to get a job and how to network. So all of the skills and training I got was actually from cassette tapes. Very interesting. But I started listening to motivational speakers and sales and marketing cassette tapes back in the 90s.
Wow.
That's insane, right?
That is. So,
but as a chemical engineer, I should have picked up on the fact that I, in my free time, I was listening to sales and marketing and motivational speakers. Who does that? So fast forward to LinkedIn started around 2005. I became active, really active on the platform in the crisis. So 2008, 2009, the construction industry and that industry really got hit hard and ended up on a leave of absence, ended up extending that leave of absence because it just kept going on and on that there were no opportunities in the construction industry. And I was doing environmental management at the time. And I had my master's, it was an MBA / master's in environmental sustainability. So I was really all in this world, but yet I lost and didn't have a job. I was all in on how to never have to apply for a job because I figured out that by the time I apply for a job in this crisis, that job's gone. I need to get in with the decision makers before they even post about a job. They're thinking they have a need. I need to somehow position myself before they have that need. And maybe I was thinking in that gig economy world already in 2008, 2009, because I was thinking, well, why don't I set up a contract or get 10 hours of work from this client, 10 hours of work from this client, 10 hours of work a week from this client, and merge it all together. And so that's where this all started. It began on LinkedIn in 2008, 2009. I set up two packages on my website, one for environmental consulting services and partnerships, and the other one for networking and getting a job and getting opportunities from being on LinkedIn.
Wow.
Origin story all the way back then.
Wow. That's so interesting. So yeah, 08, 09, that was a crazy time.
Well, the world has changed since then.
Yes. No, yeah. But I love your thought process of like, okay, well, if all of these jobs are taken like real quick, I love how you're like, okay, 10 hours a week, 10 hours a week. I've never heard people thinking like that. Although I guess that is like like the freelancer lifestyle, right? But I haven't heard people put it like that.
How I was able to really make a solid income by not thinking one company has to hire me for the full amount of what it would cost to pay me. And I ended up probably making more money that first year than I imagined without even trying to make it my full-time job. Because I was honestly trying to find a full-time position again. I wasn't trying to become a freelancer or an entrepreneur. I just wasn't thinking that that was my path. I kept thinking, how do I get back into corporate? How do I get back into corporate?
Wow. So it was just like you found yourself there by accident almost?
Kind of. And then I would say, because LinkedIn has changed and evolved over the years since then, I've always stayed really active, but I only became a major content creator on that platform. I had been blogging and I had been writing articles and doing things on Pinterest and other platforms and YouTube or Facebook or, you know, I'm trying to think Twitter, but I never leaned in on creating content on LinkedIn until March of 2018.
Oh, wow. So it's been quick.
Well, they only added native video. Okay, I'm going down a rabbit hole, but they added native video at the end of 2017, beginning of 2018.
Okay.
So I was paying attention and I was like, what are people uploading to the platform? Because before that period of time, all you could upload was from an external site, a video that linked.
Those jobs that you found, those like four, however many jobs, you found them all through networking on LinkedIn?
Yes. All through networking on LinkedIn. And a lot of times it wasn't necessarily cold connections. It was somebody I'd worked with in the past and I was able to reach out. Maybe they were a distant connection, or I would put myself out there and I would post, which I didn't realize back then that that's what I was doing, was creating content by posting. I thought I was just announcing to the world that I was looking for opportunities.
Okay. Today in 2019, why do you think it's important for business owners to be on LinkedIn?
Ooh, because there are many reasons, but I think the number one reason is LinkedIn is expanding and growing at a very rapid pace because of the session times that are increasing exponentially on LinkedIn. And the biggest reason is, so if session times are increasing, so one of the statistics, and I don't remember all the numbers that Jeff shared, but I heard him on a, you know, interview on probably some major news station, and he was talking about how the session time total in 2018, so how long people spend on the platform, that percentage increase over the entire year happened in the first quarter of 2019. And they already blew away the number of the length of time people are spending scrolling, consuming, liking, commenting, engaging. So the engagement on that platform is going through the roof. And that means you can be found, and the searchability on LinkedIn is increasing too. The ability to use alt tags, be found, your articles can now be found when people do a Google search for you. It is improving like nobody's business.
If you're talking to business owners and entrepreneurs, do people get surprised when you tell them like, hey, you need to be on LinkedIn?
That is a common thought. And they sometimes think to themselves, we are active on LinkedIn. we're posting, our company page is posting. And so there's a personal profile for every single person. So you can have your experience and your history. And then a company can have their company page on LinkedIn. So those are two different landing spots for mm-hmm. your company. And especially depending on who you're talking to, but the companies are, I feel like they're still thinking of LinkedIn and they say they're posting and they're like, yeah, but we get like one or two likes max. And, but they're making noise on the platform. They're mm-hmm. not, there's two things happening. They're maybe just using it as a billboard to just say like a commercial. And we're, yeah. as a society, and as I think the more and more people come into society that are of a younger and younger generation, they're burned out on commercials. They pay for things to not have commercials.
That's so a great point.
We're not interested in what you have to say until you show us how you provide value. And so yeah. there are companies doing it great. Like Whole Foods is a really great example on the platform. So if you want to look up Whole Foods on LinkedIn,
yeah,
they are doing an incredible job of showing up as a business on that platform.
So I have a question. So I know there's company pages and there's personal pages. Are both powerful? And if so, like, let's talk about company pages for a while. Give me some examples. Like, how can a company utilize company pages well? Because I'll be completely honest with you, when I look at company pages, I'm probably still in a similar mindset of like, how do I even get people to interact or see? Because it could be wrong. It could have changed. Because I know, like, last year, maybe 2 years ago, I feel like if you didn't follow a company page, you couldn't be found, or at least that was how I felt. I don't know if that's correct or not.
So LinkedIn is realizing the power in having the company page show up more in the newsfeed, number one.
Okay.
And because of the power of hashtags. So LinkedIn has improved their hashtag user experience exponentially within even the past year.
Okay.
So by leaning into a company hashtag and getting followers to that hashtag, and now LinkedIn creates two spaces on a company page to say, first of all, here's a really easy way to follow our website.
Mm-hmm.
And to follow our company page. And then the second thing they've done is they've added a space on the right. I'm looking at my screen. Just pretend you're all looking at your screens. On the right-hand side will be a community hashtag area, and they give you the ability to add three hashtags. So you can say your hashtag,
okay,
marketing mindset, or you can have hashtag like I do, hashtag Fox Rocks. And I've grown a following on the hashtags that I've created and on the brand that I've created myself. And then you can have hashtag, you know, all the different possibilities are endless. And then the next thing they're doing is they're improving their group user experience, because for a very long time, people were kind of saying, oh, I'm a part of a LinkedIn group, but nothing ever happens. It's not very, I don't see it come up in the newsfeed. Nobody's liking and commenting on groups. But what they're doing is they're allowing you now as a business owner to curate a group and have it connect to your company page. So when somebody comes to your company page, they can also join your custom group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's starting to show up more in the newsfeed, in the algorithm, in your world. If you follow that company pages and you belong to that free group, there you go. You're starting.
Okay, that makes sense.
That company's community.
I love that they're hearing, they're seeing what's working, what's not, and then they're kind of adjusting. Because I love that. Because I can agree. I was a part of groups. Because I back when I was more in my corporate job, that's when really I utilized it. And I back then we worked with other business owners, so I was trying to connect with people in certain fields. And I would join groups. I would follow company pages, or I'd try to have people follow us. And that's how I felt. I'm like, I'm not even seeing this. Like, is this even worth it? Like, what is happening? But okay, that makes sense. So the company pages, they are showing up on the news feed now. So it is, because before, I'll be honest, I was like, there's no point in posting on the company page.
That I think really, there's two things actually. One thing that when I connect with you and we become first degree connections, we accept each other's, hey, I would like to connect. I would love to add you to my network.
Mm-hmm.
it tells me, as somebody who's joining and adding you, and I don't know what it looks like on your end, because obviously I can just see it on my end, it triggers me to follow your company page. Whatever you have listed at the top as your current position, it LinkedIn automatically asks me to not only connect with you, but it gives me a pop-up that says, it's not exactly a pop-up, you know, it gives me a bar line that says, and follow her company page.
Oh, wow.
And that's one thing that's driving way more traffic. So my company page increased in views and click-throughs to my website. And I only started with maybe, and I was like, why is anybody following my company page? I'm not posting anything here. I was like, how do I have 80 followers? Empty. But what I realized is I have only made two posts and now my company page is at 200 followers.
Wow.
And so, and I think I've had over 100 people click through to my website.
Wow.
With two posts with less than 80 followers. So I'm like, that's a pretty good return on investment. Yeah. Because LinkedIn is making sure that people see this now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They realize how important it is. For them too, for people to see.
Oh, LinkedIn's starting to make it available. It's in beta, but they're making, and this is the exciting, oh my gosh, it's like, it's starting to make it roll out that you can invite people. So you can send out to your entire network, do a personal invitation to follow your company page. You can do it one by one, or I think you can do a mass one, which that reminds me of that Facebook world of inviting everybody to follow you. Maybe you don't want to do that, but if you can personalize some invites or target a group of and search and find all your people maybe in your local area to make sure you're like, hey, turn, and then you can write a custom message saying, hey, we are all located in the Richmond, Virginia area. I appreciate you being in my network. I have started getting active on my company page and
here you go. Okay. So let's switch over to the other profile. So personal profile. I have a couple of questions. So I see the benefits of it. I feel like it's, you know, similar concept that we have on Instagram or Facebook of like giving value. I definitely have noticed in my newsfeed myself that a lot more people are interacting with other posts. I'm seeing a lot more interesting posts. So I know there's an algorithm, but is it as bad as Instagram or is it much easier to be seen when you post? You know what
My favorite quote that I read on a group message board, it was some entrepreneur group on Facebook. So it's on Facebook and I'm reading it and they were like, they wrote this post and they were like, do you guys know that LinkedIn is way more satisfying than Facebook and Instagram? And I was like, yes. But the organic reach and the, if you have optimized, and people throw that word out a lot, optimized your profile. But for me, what optimized your profile means is, have you made it extremely clear how your ideal client comes to you, onboards, and gets into the top of your highest return on investment? How does your personal sales, we're all kind of selling something, whatever it is, how does it work? And if you can figure, you know, that's what I mean by optimize your LinkedIn profile. Because even as a job searcher, you're selling yourself. So I don't see the difference between any of us. We're humans trying to get attention from other humans.
Yeah.
And so I think the LinkedIn algorithm is very friendly right now to, it used to be even more friendly to anyone who was creating content. Let's just be really blunt. There was,
you know, I love how you said it's very friendly right now.
Yeah, well,
happen in the future?
It is July 2019. And I have to say what I've realized, there's been moments that I've taken breaks because so many people preach, you have to get online and you have to be this and you have to be that and you have to. And I realize this goes back to mindset. For being a business and being a entrepreneur, there are certain have to's that I don't want to end up in a box where it's out of guilt or obligation. At the end of the day, if I can't provide high quality content during that period of time, I personally would rather consider my comments on the platform to be high quality and go show engagement on the platform than constantly thinking about content I have to create that is my own. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I love that perspective because we can use that for even like Instagram or something like that. Because I definitely feel that way too. I was thinking about this last night. I was like, gosh, I haven't posted anything in forever. I was like, I need to like sit down and think of a caption, but I'm like, I just can't. Like, I don't know, but I love that it's not always about what you're posting. Sometimes the quality content that you're doing is interacting with other people, which ideally builds your network.
Yeah. I mean, I know it sounds funny, but like any time a major brand, if you go comment on one of your favorite companies and you think they're really big, or maybe one of your favorite entrepreneurs that you follow and just you were like, these people are awesome, I would love to get their attention. And like, I wanted your attention. I was like, loving your podcast.
And here you are. But,
yeah, exactly. But that's the power of reaching out, creating real conversations. And it is one minute at a time. And that's how we spread our message and our voice. And that's how I think companies that are doing really well on LinkedIn, whether they're huge, multi, whatever, huge companies, like I keep mentioning Whole Foods, but I'm super impressed by their company page.
I can't wait to check it out.
I have no brand deal. Come on, Whole Foods. Come on through. I'm just kidding. But basically, you know, just seeing the power of, we forget that we're all still just humans working for companies. And when people show that on the platform, it creates a lot of attention. So that organic ability is there. And I like to say, especially as somebody who says to themselves, I want to get out and start creating content, I do have that first advice, which is go out and find all of your people that you would love to be in your network that are already active and start giving them value in their comment section. Mm-hmm. And your comments on LinkedIn show up more in the algorithm as content than even on Instagram or Facebook.
I've noticed that because there's people I follow that comment in someone else's post. That post shows up on my timeline with their comment, like them as featured, whatever.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I don't even follow this person. Like, who is this content? And I like scroll down. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's the really cool part about the platform. And I will give you a tip and trick here.
Yes.
But if you jump on anyone's content who gets pretty good reach. So I'm not going to, you know, I think of myself as somebody who gets pretty good reach. Anyone who is getting on average 100, 200 likes and comments, 300 sometimes, up to thousands.
Yeah.
See that behavior. And I don't know if this happens on Instagram or on Facebook as much, but I know it happens on LinkedIn. If you jump on that person's content, that creator, and you don't know obviously if that post is going to go huge or not, but if you're within that first 30 minutes to an hour on that person's content, your comment will be higher up and it will be more likely to get likes and comments. On other people's content, I've seen somebody get, and I think I got almost 90 to 100 likes on somebody else's post. And it was on my comment on their post.
Interesting. Interesting.
And the two things I tell people, if you're going to make a high value comment, number one, it has to be high value. You can't just say good post. You know? You're not going to get all the likes and comments. And the other thing I tell people is tag the original creator. So do the at symbol, and then it should auto highlight that creator who created the original post. And say whatever you want to say back to that person. And then talk as if you're talking to the whole community. And I shared something recently on somebody's post, and I wrote in the comments my view on money mindset and had an opinion about it. And I ended up with a lot of DMs saying, oh my gosh, I have the same money mindset, but I didn't even create my own original post.
Wow. Wow. So segueing into the DMs. So... I had a good question for you because LinkedIn is the main platform where I get the most cold messages from people who are obviously very just trying to sell. And it's just, I feel bad, but I just don't respond to anybody, which is probably bad. But I'm just like, if I see some like something clever, there was one clever message that I had recently. And of course I can't remember what it said, but it wasn't like a sales. It was kind of, I forget, gosh, I shouldn't have brought it. I need to like remember what it is, but
that's okay.
But most of them are just, you know, very salesy. So I wanted to ask your opinion. What do you think about cold messaging and how should people reach out to others to connect?
I would say there's a couple reasons why I believe that what we focus on expands. And I like to take the power back from feeling powerless from getting cold DMs and complaining about them. I'm just,
okay.
I know, coming at you from another angle. So what I challenge people is I challenge people to do two things. Number one, I'm going back to your profile. Did you optimize it to tell people what you want them to DM you about? So I have an entire flow through my profile that basically says, message me or apply for these things. That's it. And if you're, and then that makes it very clear for me to turn around and say, hey, I'm only taking, you know, conversations about XYZ. If you're interested in those topics, let me know. And I can just very quickly just have a copy paste message if I want and have that one go out. And then the second copy paste message that I have is very standard and I've shared it. I think it might be on my website. I'm trying to remember if I left it up there because it was a little bit like, this is behind the scenes for hashtag Fox Rocks. But what I do is because I wanted to clear out my DMs from those sales pitches, I turned around and anyone who sent me a message like that, I said, I prefer to get to know new connections in the public comments online. Please follow my hashtag to be able to see my content and I'll see you in the comments. I'm not going to engage in a DM conversation with you. And that way, if they were serious, because here's what I'll say from knowledge of 20 years of working in corporate, and I know you can probably attest to this. I don't know how many times we sat around in a conference room trying to brainstorm how we're going to do some campaign or something. And we're brainstorming or we're putting it on a whiteboard or we're maybe coming up with a spreadsheet or we're doing something. And what happens and what goes down in the boardroom or the conference room doesn't always translate when all of a sudden they're in a sales conversation saying we should be DMing everybody and this is the message we should be sending. And then they start, the team is being told to send that message.
Yeah.
So there's a couple times that I give a little bit of grace in that world. And there's a lot of LinkedIn professionals out there on podcasts and on video saying that you should be selling in the DMs. And I think that's not 2019 anymore. So
I like that. So say if I'm getting messages, they're like, hey, we can help, you know, grow your leads, your digital agency leads by this amount. Let's hop on a call. So I should be like, cause I like that. I think I'm going to use that. Like, yeah. Hey, I prefer to get to know my connections. What did you say?
Yeah, before I hop on a call, I love to exchange a couple messages back and forth in the public comments online. And the reason why I say the public comments online is because I have run into situations where people do send inappropriate messages on LinkedIn. I mean, it can happen anywhere. If they're in your DMs, they can send you whatever. I mean, obviously we've experienced it, I think, on any platform. And I think I've learned that creates such a strong, healthy boundary to say very clearly that I will have a conversation with you. I am not cutting you off, but I'm letting you know the best way to contact me. The best way to contact me is in the public comments online, and make sure to tag me and make sure to use my hashtag Fox Rocks or make sure to follow it. Like giving them that call to action, but not saying that I can jump on a call because I literally ran out of time and ability to jump on every call, especially because I started realizing if they're going to pitch in that first message, a lot of times those phone calls turn into a weird pitch environment.
Yeah.
And it's not something I want to do. So I need to figure out that you are a legit human being that's pretty awesome. And I only have two buckets of people on LinkedIn. You're either super awesome, cool, and I'd love to network and grow a relationship because you're just a great connection. And I don't care what industry you're in. You're just a really good person and you're smart and you know what I mean. And then the other bucket is past, future, potential clients. And if I can't figure out what bucket you fall into, then I don't know what, you know, I have my standard message.
Yeah. So for people who are trying to like build those connections for, you know, potentially we're all trying to sell something, would you recommend for them to just connect with people online, be social in the comments section, and then create that relationship there?
A lot of times I will follow somebody first.
Okay.
Before I will send them a connection request.
Okay.
And the reason why is because, and I think it's, think about the way like Instagram works. When I follow somebody on Instagram, I'm immediately within that first week or two more likely to see their content because I chose to follow them. And all of a sudden I'm like, wow, I really see that new person I followed way more than I thought I would ever see them. And I think the same thing kind of happens on LinkedIn. I don't have confirmation, but what I'll say is if I comment and like most frequently on some of the top people I comment and like on, I'm probably going to enjoy the network that they're building too. So I don't know if I answered your question or if I'm just going down another like foxhole here, but I know that following somebody and commenting, and sometimes you may be one of three people commenting on their content, they're more likely, you've got to at tag them back in their comment and make sure to provide some value in it, but they'll notice you. That's how I've gotten in front of certain people on LinkedIn because of I'm not only making content, but I'm going over and showing, just like me and you even connected. I was like, oh my gosh, I love your podcast. Like I listened to this episode. Here's what I loved. I loved minute 30 freaking two, you know, and I remember that, whatever it was. I'm just saying.
I love it. Cause it's, and it, you know, it goes back to the Rachel Bell episode on my podcast, how she was how she was talking about, which I know you've listened to, it was when you messaged me, right? But how she was like, we just got to bring back social to social. People like think too much and about the strategies and how to connect with people when it's like everything that I'm hearing you're seeing is basically like just be social, connect with people. Like, it's not all about you go out, give value, connect with those people, even on LinkedIn, right?
Well, it reminds me of how would I connect at a networking event? You don't immediately walk up to somebody, shake their hand, at least a normal person doesn't. And they don't immediately launch into a full-on sales pitch. I do websites, and I can get you leads for LinkedIn. I don't know your name quite yet.
Yeah, like I don't even know. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the biggest thing I tell people. There's a lot of people running around the platform really throwing out the I can help you. And I've started to learn that there was a period of time that I also thought, I can help you. I can see because I'm in my zone of genius. Whatever my zone is, you've got yours. Anyone listening right now, you have your zone of genius. And I know that when you look at anything I'm doing online, you can probably see areas I could level up. I could turn around and see areas you could level up. But we have to figure out how to trust each other first before I'm going to trust the advice you're going to give me. You may give me the most amazing advice and it may be applicable, but here's the problem. That applicable advice, and it could be, I've gotten great advice from my website, just FYI, I'm not a website expert, but what I'll say is, will that be the thing that moves the needle in my business? Or am I better off spending that next hour figuring out something else? Or maybe that next hour in my business is better spent networking or getting on a podcast. Mm-hmm. So I think we're all balancing how we spend our time. And so if you jump too quickly into, I can help you, sometimes information is not really that helpful.
Yeah, if they don't trust you yet, that
or
makes
you don't know the behind the scenes in their business and how they've created a schedule, especially busy working moms or anyone or busy working dads. You know what I mean? Like anyone who's got, they're dealing with caring for somebody, an elderly person in their family. You have no idea of all the personal things going on and their business is thriving to a degree that they really don't kind of need your help. And we can never assume that somebody needs our help. So don't, like, part of me just says, don't like offer to help, just show up for that person. Supporting that person is a huge help. And then they'll start to look at you as a thought leader, as somebody who is trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will come for you for help.
When they need that, yeah, when they realize. Because, oh yeah, I've noticed that too. Like, I've definitely had messages where people are like, I can help you with this. And I'm like, well, I don't need this right now. Like, yeah. What do you think you are?
Well, and that's where you know the things that are moving your business forward. And you also know you maybe have a plan. You may, mm-hmm. they may see you from the outside looking in and they're like, you should be bigger on XYZ
yeah.
platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, I could be, but that would take time and energy away from what I'm doing over here, which actually gets me all of the inbound leads I can possibly deal with.
So let's talk about content strategy a little bit. I know I've seen on your website, you talk about profitable content strategies on LinkedIn. So what are you like your maybe like top three must-haves for content on LinkedIn?
I love that topic because I think there's a lot of people who get on LinkedIn and think, I can just start posting and people are going to come, and nobody comes. They feel like they're spinning their wheels or they're not getting very many likes or comments. And they're like, how are you doing it? Or how is that other person doing it? How are they getting 1,000 likes? And the biggest tips that I give are you have to start on the platform, or if you're currently not getting the engagement level you want, you have to think about starting over. I even think constantly about starting over because if I take a mini break, like I said, if I even go on a 2-week vacation and I decide to put down my phone, when I get back on the platform, I think about starting over. What is the best thing I can do? And the number one thing is go comment on other people's content. Show them you care, because the moment you post, they'll be more likely to see your post and to see or to put their social currency of their comment on your content. So number one. And then number two, I like to say that busy professionals, they need to know and trust your voice. So I like to tell people, before you expect people to watch a minute to 2 minute long video, try to pop on the platform with one tip. If you can make that, you don't, that whole video doesn't need to explain every in and out of your tip. Sometimes your tip could be, maybe you're into money management and wealth building, and your tip could be, as early as you can, starting a Roth IRA. And I am not money management here, so don't like, nobody come after me, by the way. But I'm just thinking in my head, I don't need more details about that, but just the power. And you could probably quickly say the power of starting a, as early as you can, of your own Roth IRA is the power of compound investing over a long period of time. So the earlier you start, the better. Glad to talk about that in the DMs. And done. Mm-hmm. You do not need to explain all of your expertise, because again, your profile should be optimized to explain. You maybe should have a downloadable that talks about that 401k or Roth IRA pros and cons, whatever it is you talk about. I'm just trying to come up with an example.
You're good.
And it's so powerful to think to yourself, they will see you on camera. They will see your eyes, look at the camera. And people are nervous to get on camera, but don't try to give it all away on camera.
Yeah.
Because you're working with busy professionals and they want you to get to the point. What is the value? Is there something I can download? And let's go.
Mm-hmm. 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 I like it. So is there anything else that I missed that is important that people know about LinkedIn?
That it's amazing.
Get on it.
Get on it. That I will tell you, one of the things I've been paying more and more attention to, because I pay attention to all the questions I'm getting, and I'm paying attention to some of the top pain points of why people might come over to LinkedIn. So I've expressed some of them, but the one that I love has recently been, how are you getting in front of publications or speaking opportunities?
Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk about this.
I love it. So what I notice, there's two things I notice. One is, if you go over to a CNN article or Inc. or whatever magazine, whatever publication you want, a Forbes, the person who is writing that article, if you scroll down to the bottom, they normally give you the places where they want to grow, because that person is somebody who is also trying to grow social media presence as an author, as a speaker, whatever their goal mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. They're not just randomly writing an article. They want to read too. And here's the thing. They want followers too. So most of the time they're going to have, and I notice this now, most people writing articles for Forbes or Inc. or whatever, they're putting connect with me on Twitter and LinkedIn. I'm not seeing them say most of the time, I'm not seeing Instagram. I'm seeing Twitter and LinkedIn, Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you just, I've been paying attention, I've been screenshotting, I've been like doing my own little internal market research. Because if I want to get in on those magazines, you get in with the people writing or that help a reporter out or trying to find those people. And I'm finding them on those two platforms the most as the place to solidify that you are actually a legit professional.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They can read your profile. They can see on LinkedIn that you are connected to the right people. You create that social world on Twitter and LinkedIn really well.
I love that. I'm
trying to get publicized in magazines. And then the other thing is, if you think about people running conferences, what are their business goals? They want people to come to these conferences, but they also want to find out where the amazing speakers are that will bring in the people to the conferences. So you are really, really positioned well if you already are active on Instagram. So one of the things I love, or YouTube, and there's amazing YouTubers and in community builders on different platforms, Facebook, all these places. But what I notice is that social currency of social proof saying I'm a legit speaker can come across really, really freaking well on LinkedIn. And that's how I feel like, I mean, I'm speaking on stage at some major events this year. And I'm like, it's because of LinkedIn. It would not have happened if I hadn't positioned myself in that way. And it's about networking and having people vouch for your voice on stage too.
Wow. I love that. That is so, so, so good. Woo. So what is next for you in 2019? Business wise and speaking wise?
Well, so I have decided, I mean, I might as well, she's amazing. I have decided I'm working with Rachel Bell and her team.
Woo-hoo! That is so exciting.
I think we all can surround ourselves with more and more people that are, no matter what part of their business, there's a part of everyone's business that is leveled up in a way that I'm just like blown away by.
Yeah.
And we all have, like I said, our zone of genius. And so I love the things that she has shared in her zone of genius. And that is why I signed up for her OCA program, which is Online Coach Accelerator. She's like, great. Thank you.
Promo.
Rachel, I hope you're listening. And at the end of the day, working with her and her team has opened up my eyes myself to realize that, and I am very honest about this on the LinkedIn platform, I went through kind of a family crisis. And I think we all, it's not a matter of if something's going to happen in your life or you lose a loved one or a tragedy could happen. I mean, I don't want to scare anybody, but is real. This is real life. We are flesh and bone and human, and things happen that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I took some time off social media from posting publicly, but I was consuming and I was studying and behind the scenes. I actually took Marie Forleo's B school. So I'm like all leveled up. And I feel like this is the year where I'm really launching. So I launched my LinkedIn like a fox. I took a long time to explain. Sorry. Credit. Where credit is due, that we are a combination of all the people we surround ourselves by and leveling up. And I love that I surrounded myself by Marie Forleo's group and now Rachel Bell's group. So super.
Yes. Yeah. So you have LinkedIn like a fox. That's a coaching program, right?
Yes. And that is to level you up on LinkedIn. And I am now working because of that, you know, trying to look into how that I've taken close to 40 people through that program now, and it just recently launched. So it's very exciting. And I call them my Fox stars and they are rocking out the LinkedIn platform. And the next round, I'm looking for when that's going to open and launch, because it's very successful for getting that, like all the things I just talked about, I'm basically accelerating you through that process.
Gotcha. So speaking wise, I feel like every time I look at your Instagram story, you're like speaking here, speaking there, speaking there. And I know you've got some like very exciting speaking engagements coming up later this year. So
yeah, so speaking of video marketing world, I think it's less than like 20 days away or something.
Oh my gosh.
That's in Dallas, Texas in August, end of August, August 23rd, 24th, somewhere in there. And it's going to be with just incredible lineup of speakers. I know there's a lot of YouTubers. I know the Harmon brothers are there. They made the Squatty Potty and the kind of videos of viral, so much viral ads. And then Evan Carmichael and Tim Schmoyer. And I'm just trying to think all the different names. Travis Chambers. I mean, I could go on and on. You'll just have to look. Kristen Hills with Six Sisters stuff. And I could go gush on and on. And then the other one is Vid Summit, which is one of the largest business YouTube conferences or video type
conferences.
I know that Mr. Beast has just joined as I don't know all the details because I am not in behind the scenes, but I know that Daryl Eves has been running it for many years and Mr. Beast has now signed on either as a partner or there's money happening.
Something's happening.
I saw a little like video trailer and it was like money raining down. The point is Mr. Beast is obviously a powerhouse beast on YouTube. If you don't know who that is, Google Mr. Beast on YouTube. And so he will be obviously huge in the keynote speaking on stage, but I'm on stage there as a LinkedIn marketing expert.
Very cool. I'm super excited to follow along your journey. I know every time I see your stories, I'm like, dang, this girl is speaking, but it makes me, I'm like, I kind of want to speak. That looks like fun. Cause it look like just seeing your stories and behind the scenes, I'm like, it looks like you're having a blast.
I do have a blast and I have a blast doing these podcast episodes and interviews too, because it's just so much fun to share how, to be honest, my life has changed because of LinkedIn. I sound so like, so crazy there, but honestly, any business that can figure out how to leverage and use LinkedIn. And if you need me, check it out. I also do one-on-one.
I'll include some of your links. No, I'll definitely include some of your links for your coaching program. And where can people connect with you online?
LinkedIn. So obviously there's the follow button and I will tell you, I check very frequently and I follow everyone back that follows me on LinkedIn. It's just my
strategy. Do you prefer follow or connections?
The reason why I'm preferring follow right now is because I am reaching that max level. You can only connect with 30,000 people.
Oh.
We have a limit. And I'm not at 30,000. I still have plenty of room, but I don't want to get up against that 30,000 at all. Because unless I get to that level, I want all 30,000 people to be like people that are really close in my network. So at the end of the day, I do prefer to follow other people and they follow me and I follow everybody back. So I will still see your content. I will still see your profile. The only difference will be we will have to communicate publicly on the platform until we get to know each other.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The DMs are for first degree connections.
Okay. I love how you're like, the connections are for my close group of friends of 30,000.
Yeah, exactly. My close group. Yeah, I think I'm at 23,000. I went from 1,000 to 23,000 in like less than a year.
That's crazy. That's amazing.
A little like people see that it looks meteoric, but it feels like I've been writing blog posts about this since like 2008, 2009. It's like one of those things that I'm like, oh, all the pieces finally came together. And to me, it was adding in the component of video is what finally, it finally connected every dot of every way that I like to show up and how I personally show up really. I think I show up pretty good on video. She's like, whatever, Judy.
No, I'm like, I'm going to go and check it out. Like, can I connect with you or should I follow?
No, connect with me. See, that's the connection. If you've met me at an event, I want to connect with you. If we've talked and we've had a face-to-face, I want to connect with you.
Like, and that makes sense, but not like with random people who you don't know anything about. That makes sense.
And I am pretty open to connecting, but I do want to realize that, like, let's get to know each other and follow first, because I can follow you right back and then we can see each other's content. And it's no different than Instagram, where we can follow each other back. The only difference is with Instagram, I think when you follow back, you do get access to seeing them in your DMs, but you're just, it's fine. You
can
talk to the people that you want to talk to and get a message across. And you can
see,
I tell people all the time, I'm like, people who are getting active and want to get traction on that platform, they will be paying attention if you tag them and you provide value to their community, you'll end up in their network. I mean, if you're a good person, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Good to ask.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for joining me on my podcast today. I think that was like so valuable.
Yay. And you're going to have to be on my podcast.
Yes, girl. Just let me know when.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button if you haven't already and leave us a review with your main takeaways from this episode. But thanks again for joining me today, and I will catch you next time on the Marketing Mindset Podcast.